This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, Steve, let me start, and I apologize in advance. You'll probably get asked this question a lot here in the next couple of days and weeks and months. But a number of years ago, mid to late 90s, you kind of stepped away from music, stepped away from Journey for a long time. Was there a particular reason that you stepped away when you did, or just it was a feeling you had maybe?
The real reason was that I was very, very frightened and concerned that my passion for music had gone away. And I started to feel like I was singing like in a parody of myself, and it was a very, very disjointed sort of emotional place, and I didn't like the way that felt. And that coupled with, I guess you could call, just deep-fried road burn from touring so hard. I knew in my heart the one thing I had to do was not a very popular thing, which was just to stop. And the band was not going to like that idea, and I knew that it was going to be not a great idea for the fans. And I was more concerned about the fans. The band's going to be fine, but the fans had supported us for so many years, and they were so committed to our music. I just felt obligated to not, so I didn't for a while, and then I hit the wall. I said, I just got to stop. And I walked.
Which, as you point out, I'm sure was probably a difficult decision on a number of different levels. I remember reading an interview with you, this is a long time ago now, but an interview where you talked about being a kid, you're maybe like 9, 10 years old, and you're riding in, I think it was in your mom's car, and you hear Sam Cooke
come on
the radio.
Yeah.
I assume it was partly what drew you to him. I mean, not only his voice, but the passion that you heard in what he was singing. Was it that you felt like you had lost?
Yes. I mean, I literally remember that like it was yesterday. She had a 56 Thunderbird, and it had a 6x9 oval in the dash in the center speaker. And I hear Cupid come on the radio, and I don't know what happened, but it became tunnel vision where the sides of my focus just closed in left to right, and I could hear every nuance and every production value that was in this song. And I was captivated by the landscape of it, the emotion that was coming through the speaker, and how it was making me feel. And I went, well, what is this? Why is this happening? You know? So from that point on, I was in, you know, and I'd lost that connection, and that really scared me.
Sure. I mean, obviously that had obviously been the driving force of your professional life for a long time.
I brought that into the band when I was so fortunate to get the job with Journey. I brought that with me and continued to always sort of cultivate that emotional connection, and guess what? It worked in Journey. It really continued until the end. I was kind of crispy.
Did you feel, Steve, I mean, I understand somebody could hear us talking or look at your career and say, well, you know, you're a singer, you retired from singing, it's like a ball player retires from playing ball. But it sounds like I have this feeling that maybe it was a little more personal for you, and I'm left to wonder if you sort of felt a little personally lost, not just professionally, but personally at that point in time. Singing had been your job, but it had also been your passion.
Well, at that point, singing was my savior. I mean, it saved my life to be able to connect to my heart and say something I really feel in a way that other people get a similar feeling. I'm not going to sell short what that is. I don't know what it is, but I know that's what was happening. And all of a sudden, I was kind of like just on the outside looking in, and I didn't like that feeling.
Okay. So fast forward all these years later, Steve, we finally get the chance to say, you're back. You got a new album called Traces. I think everybody's awfully excited about this news. Tell me about the new album.
Well, the album Traces is basically just like the cover. There's a lot of iconic images and feelings that come with these images. They're all traces of my past or traces of things that mean a lot to me. I have stories behind everything. And within the songwriting itself are continuances of that. When I finally got in touch with music again by losing my most precious Kelly, about 2-3 years later, she died from breast cancer. I grieved hard, and I finally got what I would call a complete heart, because it was absolutely finally broken, deeply. And my heart now was complete because it was broken. And I accessed so much that I wanted to say, happy, sad, rockin', not so rockin'. It just rekindled. I guess now that I'm hearing what I'm saying out loud, I kind of know how I feel, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that I sort of, my batteries just were drained. I had to recharge with life.
Sure. And yet, you know, listening to you talk about it, you did recharge with life. You talked about Kelly Nash, who obviously was a very, you know, close to you and very important to you. And then you lose her and you go through this amazingly powerful and sorrowful experience. But yet through that, your love and your reconnection to music is revitalized.
Yeah. I guess there's no easy way to access meaningful existence. You know, I don't think there's any easy way to do that. The only way I have found is what happened to me when I left the band, which is I knew I had to go inside and just start digging in there and find out what is it about me that needs to be okay being just me without the lights, without the sound, without the stage, without the adoration, the fans, the applause. Though I missed it terribly, and it was something I really did the best I could to not admit to my innermost self how much I missed it, because that was too painful.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to walk through all that, and I stayed away for a long time until I could feel comfortable. But meeting Kelly, I think, just put a fork in me, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. The lead track from the new album, Traces, is called No Erasin'.
Yeah.
There's a literal inspiration behind it, and then there's kind of a metaphor part of it, too. Do you want to talk about those?
No Erasin' is about two people who meet at a class reunion. They haven't seen each other in a long time, and they're sort of shocked at the sight of each other, and they're kind of smitten at the same time, you know? So they go outside to get away from all the rigmarole of, you know, the old schoolmates, and they go and they sit in their car and have a little talk, and then they go for a drive, and they end up in the same old place near this canal that they used to smooch, and they get in the back seat of her car, and they have a couple of smooches. No foul, nothing wrong. He's got a life, she's got a life. They're just meeting at the class reunion, and they just sort of rekindle the emotions that they once had when they were an item in high school. So it's about the kind of relationship emotions that happen that there's no erasing those. You can't get rid of those. They're always going to be there, no matter who you're with. And it's also about the relationship with my fans.
Sure. Who like the class reunion couple, you and your fans haven't really seen each other so much in recent years.
A long, long time, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is very exciting, man. I'm so happy for you, and you've been such a you've been so gracious in your time away from Journey and with their continued success, and you've been you've just been a great all around.
Thank you, Mike.
Guy, not only as a performer and a celebrity and whatever, but you. That idea of being connected to what you're trying to do, I think a lot of people lose touch with that, and they're not necessarily brave enough to make the decisions that you made. So,
yeah, it's tough. You know, I had an old step-grandmother. My grandfather remarried when my grandmother passed, and she used to say, Stephen, sometimes you have to take care of yourself, even if it hurts you to do so.
Hmm.
And I went, wow, she's just old Portuguese, like soothsayer, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to take care of yourself, even if it hurts to do so. So there's going to be painful experiences that are for your best, but it's not going to be easy.
Well, and certainly the last X number of years of your life have been a pretty strong testament to that. So it's so great to see you back, and we're looking forward to the new album and the single, No Erasin', and best of luck and continued success. It's been really great to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
Hey, that was great, man. It's almost like you've done this before.
I have, but it's been a long time, Mike.
Well, you haven't missed a beat. You okay. Still got it, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.